Good evening. Let's all stand together. We'll sing hymn number 292. 292. We'll do that last part, that high part at the end. Seated. We'll sing hymn number 106. Hymn number 106.
Tell me the story most precious. Told. Tell it over and over and over again. Psalm 40. Let me mention that there's a whole bunch of jeans back there from Bill Kirkpatrick that Fran sent up here. I mean, there's a bunch of them, and they're really nice, and most of them's 36. About 29 or 30, and too big for you. But, you know, there's some really good ones back there. And I hope if you don't need them, maybe you know somebody that could use them. I mean, there's some really, really nice clothes back there. All right, I'm going to read this 40th Psalm down to verse 10. I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock, and established my goings. And he hath put a new song in my mouth, praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear, and shall trust in the Lord. Blessed is the man that maketh the Lord his trust, and respecteth not the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies. Many, O Lord my God, are thy wonderful works which thou hast done, and thy thoughts which are to usward. They cannot be reckoned up in order unto thee. If I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered. Sacrifice and offering thou didst not desire. Mine ears hast thou opened. Burnt offering and sin offering hast thou not required. Then said I, Lo, I come. In the volume of the book it is written of me, I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yea, thy law is within my heart. I have preached righteousness in the great congregation. I have not refrained my lips, O Lord, thou knowest. I have not hid thy righteousness within my heart. I have declared thy faithfulness and thy salvation. I have not concealed thy loving kindness and thy truth from the great congregation. Excuse me. Our blessed Father, our blessed, blessed God, Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, our Redeemer, our Savior. Lord, we bless you, praise you for this wonderful, wonderful gospel. Tell us the story, the old, old story. Write on our heart every word. Lord, teach us thy way. Take us under your wing and protect us and provide for us and guard us and preserve us day in and day out. Lord, we acknowledge our great need of you, and we understand clearly that without you we can do nothing, not a spiritual act whatsoever. So, Lord, we come to you. asking for your presence and power in this service tonight. Pray for our dear brothers and sisters who are weak and frail, who are not with us because of sickness, sadness, grief, sorrow, whatever it may be. We ask you for your mercies to be shown toward them. And our Father, we pray again for our lost loved ones, our sons, our daughters, grandchildren, great-grandchildren, husbands, sons, daughters. And, O Lord, we pray especially for those who've never yet been converted in this congregation. Lord, cause the gospel to run well here tonight. Cause it to run well in every service. Use the gospel. We know your word will not return void. Please use it for your glory and our good. May the saints be built up tonight in the faith. Be they be edified and encouraged from the word of God. For Christ's sake, amen. Amen.
Hymn number 296. 296.
I'm going to deal tonight with verses 6 through 10, and I get my subject out of verse 8, Christ's delight, our Lord's delight, I delight to do thy will, O my God. That's what Christ delighted to do. That's what the Lord delighted to do. He was daily the delight of his Father. And our Lord's delight, his greatest delight, was doing the will of his Father, his God, my God. Our Lord Jesus Christ, his blessed person, the work given him to do, he did it with all that was within him. He held nothing back in reserves. When it says here, I delight to do thy will, I mean he gave every bit of energy, strength, power that he had in his being as a man to do the will of God. Do the will of God. He held nothing, absolutely nothing in reserve. And here in these verses, we reveal who he was and what he did. And these same verses are quoted in Hebrews chapter 10 and verses 5 through 7. The same verses are quoted over there. But he delighted to do the will of the Father. He says, Father, in John 17, 4, Father, I finished the work that you gave me to do. I finished it. Now glorify thou me with thine own glory. And oh, he finished that work that God gave him to do. Now I want us first of all to start here in verse 6. And it says, sacrifice and offering thou didst not desire. But here's what I want us to look at. Mine ears hast thou opened. What does that mean? My ears hast thou opened. In the margin it says digged. In the margin it says dig. Now let me show you something over in Exodus. Excuse me, not Exodus, but Numbers chapter, Exodus 21. Yes, I start to say Numbers. Exodus 21. Look with me in Exodus 21. Let's look at some things over here about what it means. His ear was opened. He says, thou hast opened mine ear. What does that mean? When his ear is opened, that means you have entire submission to your master's will and you love him. You love your master. Now here in this particular chapter, it talks about if a man becomes a slave, he becomes a servant. And if his master gave him a wife, he comes in by himself, he go out by himself. He gave him a wife and children, then they can. And then look in verse 5. And if the servant shall plainly say, I love my master, my wife, and my children, I will not go out free. Then his master shall bring him unto the judges. He shall also bring him to the door, unto the doorpost. And his master shall bore his ear through with an awl, and he shall serve him forever and ever. That's what it meant when our Lord says, thou hast opened mine ear. That you marked me as your servant, and I love you, and I do your will, and I will do everything, and I love my master. He's talking about loving his father. And let me show you another one in Isaiah 50. Look in Isaiah 50. And here's another one about Christ having his ears open. And our Lord Jesus Christ, and that's who this is talking about. We know that. Oh, he loved his masters. He had entire submission to his master. And our Lord entirely submitted to his Father in every possible way, held nothing back whatsoever. Look down in verse 4 of Isaiah 50. The Lord hath given me the tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak a word in season to him that is weary. Oh my, does he not know how to speak a word to us when we get weary? And listen to this. He wakes me morning by morning. He waketh mine ear to hear. As somebody that's learned. Listen again. The Lord hath opened mine ear. And I was not rebellious, neither turned away back. He said, this is what, when God opened my ear, look what he said happened to him. In verse 6, I gave my back to the smiters and my cheeks to them that plucked off the hair. I hid not my face from shame and spitting. That's how submitted he was to his Father. That's how he delighted to do the will of God. That's what it means to say, my Lord, God opened my ear. He dug my ear. I'm entirely submissive to him. I love him, and I'm going to do his will. And then look back over here with us in Isaiah 40. And then it says also there in verse 6, sin and offering thou didst not desire, burnt offering and sin offering hast thou not required. Now, I said over in Hebrews, he says, you know, that you had no pleasure in him. You had no pleasure in him. What he's saying is that this, all these sacrifices, all these offerings, all these burnt offerings and all the sin offerings, he said God did not desire them because they could never put away sin. All the blood of all the animals that was ever shed in the tabernacle and all through the centuries, all the lambs that were slain morning and evening, all the oxen, all the goats, all the heifers, everything that was offered, all the turtle, all that off, not one of them put away sin. That's why God said, I didn't desire it. I didn't require it. He said, man, because of his sin, that's why he had to have a blood offering. But every one of those sacrifices pointed to the Lord Jesus Christ. And it says, look what he says here. Then said I, lo, I come in the volume of a book to do that that's written of me. And you know what it says here about our Lord desired? He desired. He surrendered his life. Those lambs, all of those, they never put away one sin, not one. Rivers of blood. You know, they talked about in Revelation, rivers of blood up to the horses' bridles, up to the horses, up to their nose, and that blood up there. All that blood don't mean nothing. Shed out one blood. All that blood meant nothing. But oh my. Then he said, lo, I come. When you said these things could do nothing for me, then our Lord said, lo, I come. I come. Our Lord Jesus Christ came. Made of a woman. Made under the law. Made to be sin. Came. Our Lord Jesus Christ came through the womb of a virgin. He come into this world. He was always in eternity, but God prepared him a body and sent him into this world. And he said, lo, I come. I come. Here I am. I'm coming. And oh, he came. He came to do the will of his Father. He came to offer one sacrifice for sin once for all in the end of the world. As only, you know, there's only one sacrifice that God himself ever accepted that actually put away sin. All the rest of them pointed to him. But when he came, he appeared once in the end of the world, Hebrews 9:26, to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. Ah. And he says, where these sins are done, where sins are remitted, there's no more offering for sin. There's no way a person can come and make an offering to God to get God's attention. Christ has already paid the debt. Christ already put away sin. And God said, their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Oh my. But he gave himself, you know, when he offered a sacrifice, it talks about himself. Himself. The English and the Irish, they always say, meself. Meself. Talks about meself. Me. And then and they use words different than we do. But when our Lord Jesus Christ gave, whatever he was and all that he was, he gave every bit of it to his Father. I can't get my head around. Everything that he is. You know, when we die, we cease to exist. Our personality and everything's gone. But our Lord Jesus Christ, everything that he was, holy, righteous, perfect, sinless, obedient, everything that he was, he gave it. Gave everything that he was to the will of God. And he said, lo, I come. And I tell you what, he was a sweet-smelling savor unto his Father. And oh, he came to redeem us. And that's why he said over in Hebrews 9 there, said he said in Hebrews 10, said, he has prepared me a body. How else can he be a sacrifice had not God prepared him a body? He couldn't die without a body. He couldn't live without a body. He couldn't honor God without a body. He couldn't suffer without a body. So God prepared him a body for one purpose, to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. Oh, I heard that hymn today by David, you know. He said, oh, he went alone. He went alone into Gethsemane. He went alone to the cross. He went alone with my sin. He went alone before the wrath of God. He went alone for the judgment of God. He went by himself. He by himself purged our sins. Whatever himself is, that's what he gave. Gave. And then look what else it says here now. In verse 7. Then I said, lo, I come in the volume of the book. It is written of me. I saw two things here today that I never saw before. In the volume of the book, this right here, is written of me. What that means is that I wrote it. It's written of me. I wrote this thing. That's what he's saying. This is my word. The word was manifest in the flesh. The word was with God. And he said, this is, I wrote this. This is written of me. And then not only that, but it's written about me. I wrote it, and then it's written about me. And that's what he said. When you open the book, when you open the volume of the book, when you open the volume of the book, he said, when you open it up, you go find me. You know, you find him in Genesis 1:1. The world was made by him and not was anything made without him. And the scripture said, God created the heavens and the earth. How did he do it? He said. He said. Who did he say it to? He said it to his son. In the volume of the book, it's written to me. Oh, my. I tell you what, every bit of this blessed book, and if we don't see it, if we don't get it and I don't see it, it doesn't mean it's, I just missed it. I read somebody said today that we could spend the rest of our lives, and every preacher that preaches the gospel could preach about Christ every service that they attend to and could never ever exhaust the book and exhaust the things concerning Christ. It'd be impossible. The first promise in the book was concerning him. I'll put enmity between the woman's seed and thy head, the serpent. He said, I'm going to put enmity between you. Oh my. He was the volume of the book is written to me. Our Lord Jesus Christ, when he was with his disciples after he had risen from the dead, and he was talking with them, and he got through eating, and he said, you know, remember, I told you, everything I told you, I said, I told you that the scriptures must be fulfilled in Moses, in the law, and in the prophets, and in the Psalms concerning me. He said, they all had to be fulfilled. And then he turned around and said this, and then he said he opened their understanding. Everything I've taught you up to this time, I open your understanding. Now you understand what I'm telling you about? He said he opened their understanding to the scriptures. And if we get an understanding, you know who's going to give it to us? He is. Oh my, it's written of me in the volume of the book. Everything, oh, it starts out with God creating and it ends with it coming saying, amen, even so, come, Lord Jesus Christ. Amen, even so, come. It opens up in Genesis, and it closes out in Revelation. Oh, my. Then look what else it says. I delight to do thy will, oh, my God. Yea, thy law is written within my heart. Now, when it talks about written in his heart, the law, that there's three types of law in the Bible. Let me tell you this right quick. The first thing about the law is that men, most folks deal with, is the moral law, what they call the Ten Commandments. That's the moral law, Ten Commandments. The second law in the scriptures is called Moses' law, which that has to deal with all the holy days, Sabbath days, new moons, feast, and all the ceremonies and rituals that the Jews had to go through, and all the dietary rules and all that, ceremonial law. And then the third meaning of the law is the whole Word of God. And that's what he's talking about right here. The law, every part of the law. First of all, the moral law. Did he fulfill it? Did he keep it? Huh? And then what about all the ceremonies and rituals? They brought him to the tabernacle when he was 8 days old, brought him again when he was 40 days old. And every time something was going on in Jerusalem, they took up the Jerusalem. They took him up there because they obeyed the law and then they fulfilled the law. The ceremonies, the rituals, the whole, everything was fulfilled. And then the whole law of God, the Word of God, he fulfilled that, every bit of it. Our Lord said, "Think not that I'm come to destroy the law." I feel sorry for people that they go to the cross to get saved and then go back to the law to learn how to live. And there's lots of people that do it. There's lots and lots of people that do that. There's been people here that did that and got tired of hearing the gospel and left. And I know a lot of folks, if they're Reformed Baptists, 9 out of 10 times, they go to the cross to get saved from their sin, and then they have to go back to the law, and the law tells them how to conduct themselves in this world. Now, I don't need 10 commandments to tell me how to live in this world. I don't. You know what I need to live in this world? I need Christ. Yes. And you know what I need to live in this world? I need Christ in me, the hope of glory. The Holy Spirit will teach us what we should do and shouldn't do. I know when I was 12, 13 years old, I know that you're not supposed to lie. I know you're not supposed to covet. I know you're not supposed to commit adultery. I know you're not supposed to steal. I know you're not supposed to honor your father. I know you're not supposed to do none of those things. But it didn't keep me from doing them. Now, what in the world changes us? What keeps us from being back under that law? Christ is the end of the law for righteousness. To who? Those that believe. And I believe that the law is written in my heart. And I tell you what, with that law is written in my heart, I'm going to keep every jot and tittle of it. And I mean, when he said every jot and tittle of it, that's why he told the Jews one time, he said, which of you convinces me of sin? If you've ever seen me sin, ever seen me act a way that's contrary to God, his word, his law, and anything about him, you convince me, tell me about it. And they shut their mouth. They shut their mouth. Why would anybody have Christ and think they need something else besides Christ? If you need something else besides Christ, that tells you me that Christ is not enough. When the scripture says Christ is all and in all. Huh? And he fulfilled it. I'm going to go through Romans. So you all start reading through the book of Romans. Take your time, get through the book of Romans. And in 4 or 5 weeks, I might start preaching on it. But start reading through it. Because here's what happens, is that the Apostle Paul, he goes through there and he convinces everybody of their sin. We conclude that all's under sin. All of them. Then he goes on and says that there's none righteous, no, not one. And then he talks about how that, you know, this flesh, and this flesh dwells no good thing. When I would do good, I wouldn't. And when I wouldn't do, I would. And that I hate, I do. He says, so it's no more I that do it, but sin that dwells in me. And then he comes down to say, oh, wretched man that I am. And then he goes to this. When he gets through saying that, who shall deliver me from this body of death? The first thing he says, there's therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. Talked about what a sorry human being he was. How he failed in a miserable way in so many ways. But then he said, after he admitted all that he'd done, all that he was guilty of, and all the things that he dealt with in his life, then he comes there. There ain't no condemnation to them that are in Christ. No condemnation, no judgment. No judgment, no judgment. Oh, my. Oh, my. He suffered its precepts. He obeyed its precepts, suffered its penalty, which was death. He magnified the law, upheld it, and made it honorable. And then let me show you this real quick. Back over here in this again in Psalm 40. He said in verse 7, I delight to do thy will. Oh, my God. You know, here's a joyful servant. He said, I delight to do it. I delight to do it. He had joy set before him. He had this joy, and this joy was doing what his father willed and called him to do. That was his joy. My joy is fulfilled. And you know what fulfilled his joy? Was doing the will of his father. That fulfilled his joy. I delight to do it. I delight to do it. He's saying, you know, said, I delight to do thy will. Your will, what he's saying, your will is my will. Your will is my will to fulfill. You will something, I'll fulfill it. You will to something to do, and I'll do it. You will for me to die, I'll die. You will for me to save all that you gave to me, I will. You will that I should never cast them out, I will. You will that I should lay down my life for the sheep, I will. You will that I obey you perfectly, I will. I delight to do your will. Whatever your will is, that's what I do. Oh, my. Wouldn't you love to be that way? Paul said, the will's present with me. But he said, how to perform it? I don't know how. But Christ, he knew exactly how to do the will of God. Perfectly, in every way. Tell me what to do. Show me your will. And it's done. We often pray, Lord, I sure would love to know the Lord's will. But I tell you what, here's something. Christ fulfilled it. Huh? And oh my. And he said, give me your, if it's your will for me to save a multitude that no man can number, I'll do that. If it takes my blood to cleanse them from sin, I'll give my blood. Whatever you will for me, and whatever you will for me to do to save your elect, your people, I'll do it. I'll do it. Even unto death. Oh, my. You see what I'm talking about? Oh, my. Even when he got down to Gethsemane, he said, Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. All right. Look back over here now in verse 9. And now this is talking about our master now. I'm talking about our Lord. I have preached righteousness in the great congregation. Lo, I have not refrained my lips, O Lord, thou knowest. Here's a faithful, faithful preacher. Our Lord was a faithful preacher. Oh my, what a preacher he was. He said, first of all, I preached righteousness. I preached righteousness. That's what our Lord Jesus Christ preached. He preached righteousness. And oh, I have not refrained. I have not laid. I'm not hid. I'm not concealed your righteousness. I've declared your righteousness. I preach righteousness. And oh my, you know why he preached righteousness? Because we didn't have one. The Pharisees didn't have one. He said, we didn't have a righteousness, and there's only one righteousness, and that's the one that he spoke of. In fact, they come to him one time, and they was going to take him. They went back and said, why didn't you take him? Never man spake like this man. Nobody preached like this man preached. Nobody understood. You know, they said, he speaks with authority, not like the scribes and Pharisees. Oh, my. He said, except your righteousness exceed the righteousness of the Pharisees, and it's impossible for you to enter into the kingdom of God. And he said, I declared your righteousness. He talked the righteousness of his electing love. You know, when our Lord Jesus Christ talked about the righteousness of God's electing love, folks don't like election. But here's what our master said one day. He said, you know, there was many, many widows in Israel in the time of Elijah. But Elijah was only sent to one widow. And she lived over outside of Israel. She wasn't an Israelite anyway. And I sent her to her. Only one. Boy, they didn't like that. What about us? Then he says, you know, there was lots and lots of lepers in the time of Naaman. And Naaman was an enemy of Israel. Syrian army was an enemy of Israel. And Elisha was sent to Naaman and him alone. Not all the, and lots of lepers. And man, they got so mad and said, we're going to kill him. And our Lord said, that's what he's talking about. Said, God's right. Father, I thank you, O heaven and earth, that you've hid these things from the wise and prudent and revealed them unto babes. Oh, my. He ripped off of God's electing love. Oh, then out of the righteousness of his of one way to the Father. You know, when he declared righteousness, he righteously declared there ain't but one way to get to God. One way to get into my prayer. One way of access to me. And that's through my Son. Our Lord Jesus Christ, he talked about the righteousness of God's way and the righteousness of there's only one way. There's only one person that'll allow you into the presence of God. And that's me. That's me. Huh? And then the righteousness of who he died for. People want to talk about it's unjust for Christ just to die only for his elect and not die for everybody. Well, our Lord said, you know, he said, I lay down my life for the sheep. And they said, well, if you're the Christ, tell us plainly. He said, I have told you, but you believe not. Why? Because you're not of my sheep. I lay down my life for the sheep. He talked about how righteous that is. That's right. God's right to do that. And folks, that's why Paul said, you know, said, is there unrighteousness with God because he does these things? Oh, my. And then look at his blessed work and his person as his work and his revelation. He is a faithful preacher. And then look what he said here in verse 10. I've not hid thy righteousness within my heart. He said, I've published your righteousness, your righteousness. I want to show you something Hebrew in Romans chapter 3. I want you to see this. I hope I'm not taking too long. But you know, when he declared the righteousness of God, that was, and when he talks as opposed to the righteousness of the law and the works of the law, and the deeds of the law, no flesh shall be justified in his sight. But the law is the knowledge of sin. But look what he said here in verse 21. Talk about this righteousness. I've declared thy righteousness. I've published it. I've published it. The work, revelation of the righteousness of God. I've published your righteousness. Look what he said. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested. Without Ten Commandments, without the ceremonies, without the rituals. Without all the things that the Jews say you have to do in order to be saved. He said, every one of those, ever, all the Old Testament, the law and the prophets bore witness to this righteousness that was coming. Where's the first time he bore of it? When God clothed Adam and Eve with the skins of an animal. That's the first time. And oh my, then when he goes on to say this, even the righteousness of God, which by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe, and there is no difference. What he's saying is that the law and the prophets witness the righteousness of God, and the Lord Jesus Christ is the only one that by faith of him, faith by him, given to us, enables us and gives us a righteousness. Abraham believed God, and it was counted for righteousness. And then not only that, was he faithful to be a preacher, but then he preached about the faithfulness of God. Look what he said in verse 10. I have declared thy faithfulness. Oh, my. I've declared thy faithfulness. When our Lord Jesus Christ was getting ready to raise Lazarus from the tomb, you know what he said? He prayed. He said, Father, I know you always hear me, But I'm praying not for me, but for those around me right now, that they may know that Thou hast sent me. Oh, God was faithful to His Son. He declared the faithfulness of God. You do always hear me. Every miracle, every prayer was a declaration of the faithfulness of the Father to the Son. He said, I'm working and my Father's working here at the same time. Same time. Oh, He talked about the faithfulness of God. And I tell you, God, because He's faithful to His Son, He's faithful to us in the Son, because of the Son. And then look what else He said, I've declared Thy salvation. I've not only declared You faithful, but I declared Thy salvation. You know the first thing they called Him? Unto us born this day in the city of David, a Savior. A Savior. He said, He started preaching salvation. Where's salvation at? Right here. Right in me. Everything I've said, everything I've done, I've declared Thy salvation. He said, I declared Thy righteousness. I declared salvation by grace. I declare salvation by choice, God's choice. I declare salvation by substitute, by me. My hour is coming when I have to die, be delivered into the hands of sinful men. Oh my, our Lord Jesus Christ, He declared salvation. And I tell you, salvation is spoken of Him, spoken by Him, and He's the one that brings salvation to us entirely and completely. And then look what else He says here in verse 10. Declared Thy faithfulness, Thy salvation. I've not concealed Thy loving kindness. Oh my. He said, Father, He said, you know, Your loving kindness was everywhere. Everywhere. Oh, when He cleansed lepers, when He raised the dead, when He fed the hungry, when He, everything He did. It's the loving kindness of God. Oh, God is love. He gave His Son. God is love. He first loved us. And we love Him because He first loved us. And then look what He says at the last. I've not concealed Thy loving kindness. Oh, no. And you know, preachers hide all these things. Armenian preachers, free will preachers, works preachers, hide every one of these things. And our Lord Jesus Christ came to show them and declare them. And He said, and Thy truth, and I've not concealed Your loving kindness, Thy truth from the great congregation. Great congregation's all His elect. And oh my, He is the truth. He is the truth. I tell you, law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. He is the truth. He called Himself the truth. And you know what? His truth alone can set a man free. Know the truth, and the truth will set you free. And His truth will sanctify you. Father, sanctify them through Thy word. Thy word is truth. You know what sets us apart in this world? The word of God just keeps setting us apart. Huh? Oh, He's the truth of the word. He's the truth that the Holy Spirit teaches. And bless His name, He's the truth who we believe. And He is precious to us who believe. Amen. I hope as a blessing. I hope He delighted that Christ's delight. Our Father, in the blessed name of Christ our Lord, thank You for allowing us to meet here tonight. Thank You for Your precious word. I pray that You'd make it a blessing to Your saints. Be an encouragement to them. Build them up. Establish them. Make them, edify them. Teach them, instruct them in the things of God and the things of Christ. We want to learn of You, Lord. We want to sit and learn of You. Our Lord, You told us to take Your yoke upon us and learn of You. So, Lord, we want to learn of You. We want You to be our teacher. We want You to open our understanding that we might understand the Scriptures. And do it, O Lord Jesus, for your own glory. Your own glory. We praise your name for Christ's sake. Amen. Amen. Every hour of every day, every moment, and in every way, I'm leaning on Jesus. He's the rock of my soul. I'm singing his presence wherever I go. See you Sunday, God willing. Lord bless you.